All right, we're here with Coach Steve Huff getting ready for College Station High School versus Lufkin tonight. Coach, before we talk about the Cougars and the Panthers, let's take a look back at last week in Waller. And as the game went on, I had the thought that wishbone football in a day and age where you don't have as physical practice and you really don't work on tackling to the ground nearly as much as you did in the old days – is difficult, not just because it's unique, but it calls for a physicality that you don't get to see a lot. And I thought that y'all really handled that as the game went along.
Yeah, I think the first series is a testament to what you just said. I mean, they come out and it's a kind of like slow surgery. They just kind of went through it, but our kids, you know, adjusted. You know, giving up the score to adjust, you wouldn't really like to do. But at the same time, when that's the only one they gave up all night, the adjustments were made. The kids got the game speed, because that's just things you can't show them in practice. It's just very difficult. And like you said, the physicality of it and the nature of how they're going to attack you is totally different. The cut blocks are totally different than what you're normally seeing. So, yeah, the kids bounced back after that first score, and I thought did a great job.
Lots of people talk about the tendencies in that and spreading the ball out, that it's still you look at the spread offense today, there's some history there that goes back to the wishbone. You've seen all different kinds of offenses and how people work to try to get players in position to score. It seems like the wishbone and the spread still do some of those same things.
I think there's concepts of off of everything. When you look at the wishbone, you look at the wing T, some of the slot T, single wing stuff. That's all still happening. It's just all happening from different formations or different alignments. But definitely, they bring you in the box and squeeze you down in there and to stop the option, stop the power game. Then you look up and you've got definitely have man coverage and trying to get a back out of the backfield or catch a backside back out of the backfield, which is very difficult to do. Which is, as the game went along, I thought our kids did a great job.
Well, what did you think of your offense? I mean, they don't work now. The flip side of that is they're not working again what you're doing, and it seemed like that y'all really got the offense going last week because you know, you got some guys back and you're a little bit more healthy. But I thought that y'all had a good plan to attack their defense.
I thought we hit a much better rhythm, a lot more continuity last week. And again, you know, being a little bit more up-tempo and, you know, you go into a game like that and you hope maybe that's a factor. I don't know, because I think also if you're not an up-tempo team, that's very difficult to show your kids in practice also, because that takes a long time to get that tempo to where you were. You know, I know how long it took us to get our tempo to where we like it, and how much work it takes. So I know it'd be difficult to show that in practice also. But besides running two huddles, people run two huddles to show the tempo. But again, I think it came back to, you know, getting first downs. That was the one thing. You know, getting some first downs and getting started, that sure helps your rhythm a bunch.
You talked about tempo, and I know that y'all will hold plays on the sideline before you send them in when y'all want to slow down. It seemed like there was a point in time in that game where Waller would need to have tempo to win, and they really couldn't do it when they're sending a guy, you know, in from the sideline. It seemed like they couldn't speed up. And I know that y'all have learned and taught the kids how to slow down, but that's something that you know, isn't real natural sometimes, getting out of your rhythm.
Absolutely, because we don't do it in practice. We don't practice a slowed down type mentality, just because it is difficult to do, because you work so hard to get the tempo up. And that's why I really appreciate teams that run like two or three different tempos, because I know how how hard that is to do. But at the same time, I thought last week the kids were able to hold on in times. And you're right. I think when you don't do those things, it is hard to speed up. And, you know, we talk all the time, you know, we are what we are, and we have to live with what we do. And so, you know, I think we're comfortable in our skin as far as that's concerned. And I hope we're in a situation where we need to speed up. You're comfortable speeding up in a game and then slowing down, although it seems difficult, or it seems like it shouldn't be difficult. It is difficult for the kids, because it seems like it's a lot of time passing before the next play is called.
Was last week a fun week for coaching staffs that have some experience that around and remember how you know, it wasn't just always throwing the ball all over the field to see that some people can still have success doing it a different way? Because there's a point in time when spread was the different way.
Absolutely. I think when you look at what they do and Coach Phillips, and, you know, very comfortable in the wishbone for him, and we play in their lower levels last week, you know, they keep the ball away from you, which is one thing when you're a tempo team. Obviously, you want to have the ball and not give it up quick. But, you know, we looked up the other night, and they go down and score that first touchdown. I think there were maybe 6 or 7 minutes left in the first quarter, and all of a sudden, you know, you're down 7 points and half the quarter's gone, which, you know, that's definitely what their game plan is. You know, you take it and keep it away from people, and you try to make people have to hurry up on the other side to make mistakes. So I think that was it was very good for us to go back and score that first possession we had, and then get a stop. Otherwise, you know, you get in a situation where the clock's taken away from you, start feeling a little bit more uncomfortable. But definitely the wishbone type mentality, or even some wing tee teams, it's hard to get the ball back from them.
Well, Coach, I know that y'all don't circle games. Y'all play week to week and keep the kids focused on that. But around the state, around this community, Lufkin Panthers, College Station Cougars, two top 10, top 6 teams facing off this week. A lot of excitement and a lot of anticipation for two really good football teams that this week won't determine where you play in November and December, but it certainly has a factor in it.
I look at the game as, you know, we do, and we approach things that it is a, you know, it's another district game for us, and we talk to the kids all the time about district championships are every week in the district. That way we're going to take it one game at a time, and I think, you know, just the hype around the game takes care of itself with the kids, which is, we really don't have a lot of time to talk about. We've not talked about any type of rankings or anything. We talk about playing this week and trying to be on the upper side of the district when the game's over. But when you look at Lufkin's tradition and the history they have and the teams they put through and the players they put into college and pro football, you know, that's one of the teams you look at, you know, down the line in the history of your program that you know, you want to be one of those programs. So I have a great admiration for what they've done in the past, and looking at the team right now is no different.
I know when they drop down, Marshall did it a few years ago. It's that, you know, 5A's kind of got to be the size where the Lufkins and Marshalls, John Tyler, those teams are fitting into the level of football. It seems like anytime a team comes from the big level down, they carry a little bit of swagger. But also, it shows at 5A how tough it can be when a team that was in the Final Eight drops down into 5A ball, that they're going to be prepared and they know what it's like to play championship ball coming from the 6A level.
Yes, and when you look at, you know, your programs you used to play, and, you know, the long views and the people like that, and playing that upper 6A level and dropping down, of course, everybody's eyes open up and thinking, you know, Lufkin dropping down. And hopefully, you know, when 5A Division 1, 5A Division 2, you know, we were in last year, very, very good football. I think probably the biggest thing you're looking at may be the numbers as far as depth-wise and stuff like that. But still, I mean, good quality football. Ball in every level, and so I think our kids are well aware of them dropping down and looking at, and they've been picked in some polls to win the state championship this year. So, you know, again, look at it, it's a district championship game every week. Our district's gonna be a dogfight all the way through to the end, so I think we can't put one game above the other, but this is the only game we have this week.
They were in a dogfight last week with Magnolia. What did y'all see on the tape that gave the Panthers problems last week?
I think, you know, I don't know anything that really gave them problems. It was a good ball game. Magnolia's a very, very good football team, very, very big and physical up front. They did some things in a passing game last week that they got through and hit a couple post routes and then hit another one where a kid got in the end zone, just made a really, really good catch. Again, it was a great matchup. I think that we follow Magnolia so far in district, so we see them their offense every week against a team we're getting ready to play. And, you know, watching that game, I think it's pretty typical what I've seen from Magnolia since Doty's been over there, that they just do a good job, and they're going to get after you. And I think it was no different last week.
What about Lufkin? I know they had some losses, but offensively they've had a system for a long time. What are you expecting to see from them, and what is your defense going to have to take care of?
You know, they're going to stretch the field vertically. You know, they're very, very capable of putting the ball up there. Their quarterback's just getting back and getting healthy now. So, dual threat guys, and you cover everybody up, and then he pulls the ball down, and you better be in your rush lanes, or, you know, he's out the gate pretty quickly. So, a lot of discipline on defense this week. And the same thing, the running game's they're not going to try to, you know, do a bunch of things. You know, we saw a lot of things last week from Waller, a lot of different things. Lufkin, it's kind of like they are what they are, and they're very good at it. I'm not going to say they're not going to try to trick you. It's just the fact that they do what they do, and they do it well, and you have to beat them at what they do. They're not going to make mistakes that way.
What's the growth you've seen in Brandon Williams? I know that his background, we've talked about that several times. It seems like his comfort level in the offense really is starting to shine through because it's a different week. He's looking at a different guy because defense is adjusting what y'all do. It. There's always a guy open, it seems like, and he's able to check through some plays and find the right guys.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of getting, like I said a while ago, getting some rhythm going. We finally hit it last week. He's had a couple little nagging things this year also, and he's starting to get a little better and feeling a little bit better. So I think that helped. But again, when you look at his ability to throw the ball and release it quickly, and he's also got a very powerful arm, very strong arm. So that helps to be able to do those things, and some things that you look at that he's able to do. Three or four or five of these kids have played a lot of ball together over the last years, playing 7-on-7 coming up. So, hopefully you can find those areas and look at different defenses, what they're going to try to give you and take advantage of them. And so far, you know, like last week, he was able to do that and not getting selfish and trying to just throw the ball down the field. He's very good at just, checking things down and taking what's there.
Offensive line's going to be a big key this week. That's one of the strengths of the Lufkin Panthers is their defensive front's ability to pressure quarterbacks.
Yeah, there's no doubt. They have three kids that are, I believe, are all three committed D1 schools. And when you look at that and the pressure they had put, plus the kids that rotate in for them are in the same boat. I mean, it's not like there's any letdown when they're bringing their guys that back them up. So it is one of those situations you have to get the ball in the quarterback's hands and make quick decisions and try to do some things that aren't just standing back there and being a sitting duck, because that's not going to be a good situation against them. They'll come, they'll bring pressure from the outside, they'll twist it up front, but they're just powerful and they can get into your pass rusher, your pass blockers pretty quick. So, it's more of our kids getting their feet set and kind of buckling down there this week.
All right, that's our preview of the Lufkin Panthers, a big game of the week. Everybody in the state will be watching Cougar Field for the results of the 5th-ranked Panthers and the 6th-ranked Cougars, and we'll be back with getting ready for the game when we return here to College Station Cougar Football on Maverick 100.9 FM.